Reading today comes from the book of Acts, and I'll be reading from chapter 8, verses 1 to 25. And Saul was there giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was being given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen." When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Mary, for reading that out. We're actually going to be focusing on a really small section of that passage today, but it's great having the wider context because it gives us a little bit of information about what's going on and what happens afterwards. I wanted to start with this phrase, "as far as I recall," because today is all about remembering. And I thought, what do I say probably more than anything else when I'm talking about remembering? Well, as far as I recall. Now, Rebecca will tell you that when I say "as far as I recall," it means, "Hun, I thought we were doing this. Has the plan changed, or did I get it wrong?" Inevitably, I got it wrong. I can say this, she's up doing the youth work right now, so I'm safe. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jack. Hi, everybody. I'm normally upstairs, but I'm covering for Rosie, who's moved away a while ago, and we miss her dearly. But you've got me today, and my "as far as I recall," and my bad memory. Because memory's important. Memory is vital, in fact. It's so strong that it can bring about some of the most powerful emotions, even though the event that you're remembering happened so long ago. Memories can make us cry. They can make us laugh. Memories can make us feel that deep pit of despair, and they can bring us up out of it. Most importantly, memory is what keeps us connected to God. Remembering who he is a key theme all through the Bible. God tells us again and again, remember this, do this in remembrance of me. Set up this stone so that you will recall and tell your children in the future generations. I still remember the day when I proposed to Rebecca because it brings about some of the most powerful emotions in me. I remember going over to the place she was living, and it was a cold day. We'd organized to go on a walk and it was snowing, and I can still remember now and thinking about it. My heart's starting to beat. It's going fast, and this is just a memory. I remember holding her by the hand and dragging her out the house before she was actually ready to go out because I was so nervous and it was snowing and she was not properly dressed, I was. And I can remember the excitement when she said yes. Memory can bring back all of that. It's powerful. It's really powerful. And so I wanted to think about how can we use our memory? Because when we use memory to form instincts about the current circumstances we're in, we call that experience. When we use things that have happened in the past, when we use our memory, we use our experience to decide right now, is this person going to make a good boyfriend or girlfriend for me? Is this going to be a good business decision? Hang on, I feel like I've been in this situation before, and I don't like where this is going because I didn't like where it went last time. We use memories. Not only are they strong, but we use them all the time to make important and good decisions. So recalling correct information is equally as important. If we want to use our memories, we want to make sure that our memories are strong and correct. Now, it won't surprise some of you that smell is one of the strongest inputs or things that make us recall memory. That won't be news to some of you, but it's a pretty well-known fact now that senses of smell help bring back certain memories. And if you're one of these people, you smell something and it brings something back, and it can be either a really great memory or it could be trauma. Smell's so powerful. Through some of the training we did as when we were becoming foster carers and adopters, sometimes they would tell you that, you might have a child, you need to avoid a certain smell. Maybe it's oranges, because actually when they knew someone would come home smelling of oranges, this child would learn to expect to have a bad time. So smell's powerful, but why? Why? And this little diagram here, okay, not too complicated, but let me just explain it, because this was found really interesting. There's a word right in the middle that's crossed out. It says thalamus. And some of you who know this a lot more than I do will be, you'll know that I'm skipping over important details here. But the thalamus is basically the real processing, logical thinking part of your brain. And you can see that that is completely crossed out when it comes to smell. Smell, when it comes in, goes through the receptors, the olfactory bulb, and goes to three different places, all of which are associated with memory or emotion. This is why smells are so important as an input, but what if you couldn't smell anymore? What if you lost that sense? I was wondering this question, so I kind of did a bit of research on that, and I don't know the link, because there were some very complicated science papers on this, and I'm not sure they came to the conclusion, but there is a link between losing your smell and the early stages of Alzheimer's. And some of these papers were postulating that perhaps there is a link because of the connection with smell and memory. Maybe you stop recalling like you should do. So we need to be thinking about the inputs that we use to bring about our memories. Because if we lose an input, or maybe if we choose a bad input, the memories that we're going to be calling that we will later use as experience won't be correct. And one of the main ways this can come about is about the people you choose to surround yourself with. The people you choose to put yourself next to and associate, spend your time to be influenced by, some of them will help you. in recalling correct information and experiences about God. Some of them will not. Some of them will bring about bad influence. In fact, they might not even talk about God. They might give you no experience about God. And it's like cutting off one of your senses completely. You've lost an important input about who Jesus is when you spend time with someone who is not a sensible, reliable, godly person. And in our passage today, we see a group of people who have a long time ago started to forget who Jesus was. In fact, sorry, they started to forget who God was until Jesus came along and did something radical. And so we're kind of like the Samaritans. Now, Samaria in the Old Testament times, in time of Jesus and just afterwards, became this nation above Israel. Now, they were actually the kingdom of Israel at one point. It was a kingdom, it split. Lots of history here that I'm not going to go into today, but the key thing is on this map that the Samaritans don't have access to Jerusalem. Jerusalem's actually slightly off the bottom of that map. You can't actually quite see it. And that's important because some of these guys were Jew. They were, in fact, you could probably say they were Jew-ish. But, oh, come on, guys. Come on. Do you know how proud I was when I came up with that? Okay, I'll take the pity chuckle. So they were Jewish, but it kind of changed over time. They hadn't had access to the temple, God's presence. They hadn't been for generations. Actually, these people had been turning away from God and listening to other prophets. They had lost one of their most important inputs when it comes to remembering who God is, because they've been turning away the right prophets of God. And they've been choosing to listen to other people who might not even have been prophets. They were just looking out for themselves. The kings of the northern kingdom were notoriously bad. Notorious for it. And eventually, these guys have lost their way. And I don't know where you're coming at today in your relationship with God. You might feel like you have completely lost your way. And if you've been asked to watch this online because you feel someone's asked you, you have lost your way completely. You've forgotten who God was, and you feel so disconnected right now. You feel like you don't know where he is. You don't know why he's relevant. You can't explain it to anybody why you used to go to church, and you'll never again set your foot inside a church building because who knows anymore? Maybe you've forgotten. And maybe you're here today, but you've come regularly, but you know what? Right now, you're feeling a bit distant. You're feeling like you're starting to forget a bit about who God is. You're pushing away, maybe. Maybe it's not even just drifting. Maybe you're ready to push away, and you're ready to detach yourself from church. You're ready to detach yourself from this community that want to encourage you to know God better, but you're starting to cut off those ties. Maybe there's someone in your life that's influencing you in a wrong way. Maybe it's a business partner who's trying to encourage you to do some underhand practices, to not be ethical, to not be financially responsible or fair. I don't know what it is for you. And even if today you're sat here thinking, you know what? I'm okay right now. We all go through points in our lives where we walk away from God, where we forget who he is, where we stop listening to the good influences around us, and actually we start remembering God through the lens of the people who are influencing us in that time, who might not even know God at all, but they might have a strong, strong opinion on faith. Now, if you wanted to find out about Liverpool Football Club, I'm probably a pretty good person to talk to. If you wanted to find out about almost any other team, don't come to me. Why would you come to me? I don't know them, I don't support them, I don't particularly care about them. So, you know, sorry, Watford, but if you want to know about Watford, why come to me? You wouldn't. You'd find someone that knew about Watford. It's the same thing when it comes to our faith. Sometimes we need to choose to listen to people who will help us remember correct information so that we can use that as experiences later on. And so we're going to go through two characters here, because sometimes we're like the Samaritans. and we're pushed away. We've forgotten who God was. We've stopped recalling the information correctly. And I'm going to introduce them, but I want us to have a think. Now, some of you who know this passage and we're listening well, we'll be able to work out this question already, but, you know, humor me. As we're going through this and comparing the two people, have a think. Who sounds like a godly influence? And who sounds like an ungodly influence on the people? So we start with Simon. Now, this guy's called Simon the Sorcerer. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. So, first things first, a guy called Simon, don't confuse him with other Simons. There's good Simons in the Bible, but he's a sorcerer. The Bible goes out of its way to explain when things are magic or whether it's sorcery, that those are different from miracles. It's one of the things I say to my young people, there is a difference between magic and miracles. Miracles happen and you can't explain them. There is no other explanation for a miracle other than God moved. Magic or sorcery are tricks. You know, in my misspent youth, I learned a few magic tricks, and you'll be pleased to know I'm not doing them here. That was either magic or sorcery if they were going to describe that in the Bible. It is not a miracle. So here's a guy performing sorcery. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." I love this. This guy is boasting about himself, and he's given himself what I have to admit, rather grudgingly, is a really cool nickname. Now, when it comes to it, calling yourself the great power of God is a pretty good nickname to have. I remember at school, I tried to get people to start calling me JJ. I'm glad it didn't stick. I really don't think that would have fitted or suited me. Maybe I should have gone for something a bit more powerful and impressive. But the point is that he boasted about himself. One of the things you see Simon do is boast about himself. In fact, he gives himself a nickname, the Great Power of God. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. There's that S word again. The results of his influence on Samaria was that people followed him. And that's why I've highlighted that word, because the people followed him. With his sorcery and his boasting, he amazed people into following him. So here's Simon. Boasted about himself, he amazed with magic, and he created followers. He's the first guy out of the pair that we're looking at today. He's the first influence. He's been there a long time. He's been there a long time, having a strong, long influence on the Samaritans. Let's look at Philip. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. Notice this. The first thing Philip does when he goes to be an influence in the city of Samaria is tell people about Jesus. The very first thing. There's no boasting here. There's no talking about himself. He doesn't come up with a nickname for himself. Rather, promotes and he boasts in the nickname, the title of Jesus. The first thing this man does is talk about the Messiah. He talks about the Messiah. When the crowd heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. Remember the difference between miracles and signs and magic and sorcery. It's becoming like light and day. But light and day, same thing. Night and day, light and dark, the difference between these two influences. When the crowd heard and saw the signs, they all paid close attention to what he said. And this is important, because when people are trying to influence us, they will get our attention. And clearly, both Simon and Philip had the attention of the people. And they were talking about God. They were both talking about God. One was talking about the Messiah. One was calling himself the great power of God. They had their attention. Simon used it to get followers. What did Philip do? For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. More signs. So there was great joy in that city. when you spend time with people who influence your life, do they bring you great joy? This is a really valid question, an important question to talk about and to think about, to assess with other people and be open with. You might have someone influencing your life right now who doesn't bring you great joy. Now, I'm not talking about the people that maybe bring you a challenge. But maybe there's someone in your life right now that is sapping and sucking joy out of your life. Perhaps someone who's more godly should be bringing joy into your life. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. The outcome was not that he got a cool nickname and had followers of his own. The outcome of Philip coming into this city was he preached about the Messiah, he told people the good news, he performed miracles and signs, and then people believed. Even Simon believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. Now, if you weren't sure even up to that point who was going to be the godly influence and who was going to be the ungodly one, I think that probably revealed it to you. The godly influence in your life will be more powerful. Because if it's a person, they've got God in them. It might not feel like it, because the strong pull of Satan in your life is hard to resist. And it's tempting. And Simon was probably really charismatic and drew people in, but encouragement. Even Simon was influenced by a real man of God coming into the town. Even the man who was trying to pull people away from God for his own benefit and gain was pulled in by God. So the comparison, you have Philip here, came in, proclaimed Christ. And you have Simon who boasted about himself. Philip, his miraculous signs and wonders, as opposed to the magic and sorcery of Simon, and the great joy that Philip brought about compared to Simon, who just created followers for himself. So, who are the influences in your life? The people in Samaria had to make a choice when suddenly Philip comes in and there's two people claiming to be from God. And sometimes we're stuck in that position where we need to choose. But sometimes you also don't have someone coming in your life speaking God into it. Well, maybe take today as your opportunity to think, Philip's come in, God's come in, and he's speaking to you now saying, there is a Simon in your life who is pulling you away from me. When you listen to a Simon, you forget who God is because he will not tell you the truth. He or she will try and do anything they can to pull you away. And they might not even be doing it deliberately. They might not be thinking exactly, I want to stop this person being a Christian. But an ungodly influence on your life, someone that's going to stop you remembering who God is, will not encourage you in your walk with Jesus. So who's your Simon? Who's standing in the way of you remembering accurately who God is? And maybe I need to broaden that a little bit. Because what are your bad influences? Because maybe it's a person. But maybe it's something else in your life. Because the same characteristics are true whether it's a person or not. Maybe it's social media. If we're thinking about attractive followers, maybe it's a social media thing. I know, working with young people, that social media is so powerful. But that's not to say that the rest of us adults here in the room aren't influenced by it as well. Like, maybe there's something there that you're looking at, you're watching, getting dragged in, sucked in. One of the things that I find so appalling right now is there's this wave of men on social media who are just getting angry. And they were telling young men to rise up, to not take it, the abuse that we're getting. You're a man, you should be respected. You know, this wave of feminism is awful for the country. when you look at the content that they're actually saying, what they're actually encouraging our young boys to do is to stop respecting women, is to stop caring about other people, is promoting the side of masculinity that isn't good. In fact, this is called toxic masculinity, and it's vile. Men should be men, but that's a pretty broad idea of what a man should be. But we don't need to be like that. So maybe it's not social media for you. Maybe it's money, things. Maybe you've got a fancy car in your drive that, if you're honest, you love a little more than your children. I was spending some time with a guy who was really disappointed recently because he went to buy a Porsche and it wasn't quite up to the standards that he was hoping it would be. He'd driven all the way down to Silverstone to try and pick it up, and he'd missed his daughter's dance recital for this. He'd missed his daughter's dance recital in order to go pick up a car. There's a Simon in his life. There's a Simon that's pulling him away from what is good. Who's pulling him away from God. And this guy's on the verge, and I think cars are something that for him is going to get in the way. But what is it for you? It might not be fancy cars. But money, we know, is a strong pull. So it might be a person, it could be money, it could be your work. How many of us feel like we always have to work too much? I think we could all put our hand up to that one, that's okay. But for some of us, work becomes our life. Jesus tells us that we need to have him first in our lives, but sometimes we look at work and we find that we've been looking at our emails for multiple hours a day after our work hours have finished, and we've not even had time to read the Bible or pray. Maybe it's studying. I mean, I'm a big fan of education, but studying can become bigger than Jesus. Studying can become a Simon. So who are your bad influences? But what senses, on the other side of this, can we use to remember? Because all's not lost. Not just getting rid of a Simon in your life, like the Samaritans did, is not quite enough. You need to listen to something that's going to give you positive experiences of God, who's going to help you recall and bring to mind who God is, what he's done in the past, what he's doing now, what he will do for you in the future. So what senses can you remember, like using your smell to remember accurate memories to use as experience? What are your senses that you can use? Firstly, godly people. Shouldn't be a surprise, but surround yourself with godly people. Work out who the Phillips are in your life. Surround yourself with people who will seek with everything they have to keep you close to God. Not people who push you away. Push you away from Jesus and getting the way between you and him, but people who would rather step out of the way and bring you together. Godly people in your life who know you, who know what's going on, can speak into your situation that you can be open with and share. It's vital. This is why I'm personally such a big believer in our Connect groups. If you're not in one, get in one. Because if you want to be surrounded by godly people, a connect group is where in this church, people, maybe it's 6 or 8, something like that, in different times of the week, will gather together, look at the Bible, pray, share with each other what's going on, and support one another. If you're feeling right now that you don't have godly people around you, talk to Sue. Sue, can you give a little wave? Thank you, Sue. Sue is our what part of our leadership team, and she heads up the Connect groups. So if you want to know how to get involved or which one to go to, talk to Sue. But surround yourself with godly people wherever you are. Make sure you have someone in your ear that will give you godly advice in all areas of your life. Because maybe you feel like, personal life, I've got godly inputs. My business life, I listen to my financial advisors, and that's it. But even in your business, even in your profession, whatever it is, find someone else who can be a godly input in your profession to you. Secondly, it's not just about finding godly people, it's about finding God. Talking to God, prayer. It's all very well trying to come to me to even learn about Liverpool. I could tell you about Liverpool, but if you really want to experience what it's like, you need to go straight to the source. And it's the same with God. Talking to godly people is really great, but if you want to know someone, because this isn't a religion, this is a relationship that we're getting into here with Jesus, you need to talk to him. You need to spend time talking to him. And if you're feeling like you're being pulled astray, when was the last time you talked to Jesus? When was the last time you prayed? And remember, talking goes two ways. It's not just speaking. A talk also involves listening. Finally, read the Bible. Spend time reading his word. It's where he reveals himself to us in amazing ways. And on that note, I want to give you just a verse to end on here to take home and to use as your inspiration for the week, as a reminder to find godly people, to remember who God is. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. When we cut ourselves off from the inputs that will help us remember who God is, that's when we lean on our own understanding. When we cut ourselves off from godly people and listen to people who don't care about God, don't know about him, don't care about your relationship with him, that's when we lean on our own understanding and when we will fall. But brothers and sisters, let's listen and trust in the Lord with all our heart. Let our first response and action always be to listen and put God first and bring him to mind in all that we do. I'm going to quickly pray, and then Martin's going to start with an instrumental after this, and we'll go into a time of remembering. But I'm just going to pray for us now. Father, I thank you that you came in the form of Philip to bring about your word, your power into the town, the land of Samaria. I thank you that you brought to mind for them who you were. You shook them out of their sleepwalk. You took out of them the bad influences. And I pray, Father, that you'd be doing that for us too. Challenge us to let go of the bad influences in our life that don't remind us of who you are, and instead put in place people, things, yourself, that will lead us to think of who you are first in all circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen.